this message, and I want to preach. I was driving back with Ray, and I'm going, I should have asked somebody to preach today, you know, because I'm kind of tired. But what I'm going to preach on is about the Holy Spirit and how in our weakness that He is strong. And that's what the Lord is showing me. I believe the Lord is taking me through this weakness not to show that I'm weak. I know I'm weak, you know. Nobody needs to show me that. But in my weakness, what I'm learning is to depend on God, to depend on the Lord. And you know, I want to kind of go through some of, you know, the vision for our church. And the theme verse for our church is Acts 1:8. And I hunger, and I know you hunger too, for encounter with God, you know, for a revival, not a man-made revival, but Holy Spirit revival that the Bible talks about. And I don't want, you know, counterfeit revival. You know, I don't want counterfeit revival, but I want to see in my own life, in the lives of others, and in this community and in nations, the revival that the Bible talks about, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit revival. Okay? Amen? And it's in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And I must have been really tired because I forgot to put the rest of the verse in my notes. Okay? "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I memorized that verse. And so, you know, this is a passage that I preached on so many times. And that's because this is the theme verse for our church. Because we're waiting for this revival of the Holy Spirit. Revival of the Holy Spirit. You know, as your pastor, I want to preach a good message every Sunday. You know, I want to preach an inspiring message every Sunday. And so you could receive a really good message. Honestly, if you want a good message, go to YouTube. No, you could hear something every day. You could go to YouTube and hear phenomenal messages on YouTube. You know, just do a good search and, you know, and look at how many views that they have. And, you know, you could, you know, listen to a good message, inspiring message, powerful message, you know, anytime you want, honestly, anytime from throughout the world, right? But without an encounter with God, without Holy Spirit moving in the church, then it's not, that's not the purpose of this church. You know, I want to have a course. You know, who don't want it? You know, I want great programs and great activities. You know, I want the best children, you know, program in our in the church. You know, I want great youth program. I want great men's ministry and women's ministry and all those things. Of course, I want that. You want that. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't move in our church, then, you know, to me, it's kind of meaningless, you know. We could have church without encounter with God. That doesn't make sense to me. Church, no encounter with God, but great activities, great program. You know, I want as a church to have a really good website. And guess what? We got a new website. You know, you could go on. It looks really nice. We just, you know, launched it last week. And, you know, I want to thank Jose and, you know, Jen, you know, to, you know, working on that. They work very hard, and we have a really good website. I'm not ashamed of our website anymore, you know. Because, again, we had nobody knew how to do, you know, a web page in this church, the whole church. And there was somebody that came 8 years ago, you know, and he was a webmaster, so he set that up 8 years ago, and then, you know, he lived so far he couldn't continue, you know, and then, you know, Jose, you know, helped us out with that, so I'm very thankful. But we could have a great website, right? But without the Holy Spirit, there's no transformation of lives. Right? There's no transformation of lives. You know, of course, I want a church that's more organized, more efficient, right? You know, of course. But if God, we fear not having, you know, but if you want a church, you know, your priorities, the church needs to be organized. The church needs to be efficient. I want to say there's many churches in the area that's more organized than us, more efficient than us. Many churches. If that's your priority, you could find those churches all around us. Okay? But again, if we're not having an encounter with God, you know, I don't think we should have a church. You know, we shouldn't have a church. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. The church is his body. And it says here, his church will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right? When the Holy Spirit come upon us, it's not that we just shake and speak in tongue, or that there's, if this is what you want, you know, I could do it for you. You could come up for prophetic words, and I'll tell you will be an apostle. If that's what you want, I could do that. You know? Just won't hear great, words about you. But what the Bible says is not that you'll just hear great prophetic words about you, but you'll be a witness. Okay? You'll be a witness. You'll be my witness, the Bible says. And what does it, mean to be a witness, to be a witness of God? It doesn't mean that you just share the gospel with people, okay? Or you give out tracts to people. It means that being a witness means God, you have such a powerful encounter with God that there's a change. And other people around you see that change. You're being a witness. Okay? You're being a witness. Yes. yes. And so how do you know that you have the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, if the church is about, applause and about numbers, it's about human revival, then we care about how we look. We care about how others respond to us. We care about popularity. We care about fame. We care about reputation, But that's not what the Bible says. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you don't care about those things. It's not about politics. It's not about being an elder, the title, I'm an elder. Huh? It says, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, meaning if you're a witness, you don't care about those things, but you care about people. Okay? You care about people. Okay? As the Holy Spirit moves in you, because it's saying that power affects Jerusalem, but not just where you are, but Judea, the people in Judea, people in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What it means when Holy Spirit comes upon you, okay? It's just all about me. But what happened when Holy Spirit touched you? You get ministered to. Because you get ministered to, you get set free and healed, and you start to really know how to love. And you care about the people around you. Your heart becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. When it says, and the Holy Spirit power will hit you in Jerusalem, it means that God touches you and you encounter his love, his power. There's the gospel. You understand the gospel, what Jesus did for you. And there's salvation. And there's forgiveness. There's transformation, sanctification. God works in your heart. There's healing. There's freedom. And then you start to see, okay, once as the Holy Spirit does that in you, you start to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. Okay? You give love to other people. It just comes out of you. And what's the second fruit? Joy. Okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness start coming out. And then minister, you're a witness in Judea. You know, it goes. You know, because you can't give what you do not have. Yeah, if you know, you can, but the problem, and this is what we need to go, be careful about. We need to discern that we don't fall into the same trap. The problem is when you go to church, you're not encountering God, but you're encountering legalism. When you go to church, you're not encountering God, but you're encountering tradition. You go to church, you're not encountering God, but you're encountering human culture. Right? You go to many different churches in the United States and New York, you just see a lot of culture. Okay? It's not real, you know, I'm not saying those things are bad. Okay? I'm not saying those things are bad. Right? Legalism is bad, though. I don't like legalism, you know. But and so what happens is, if you're encountering legalism, that's all you know how to give to other people. If tradition is the priority, that's what you give to other people. If your culture is the most important thing, I grew up in a Korean church. And some churches, that's the most important thing, Korean culture. And you go to that church, guess what they give? Korean culture. Yeah? If that's the most important thing. But to us, in Catalyst, is an encounter with God. Yeah? That's what a church is. That's what a church is. Yeah? And so what happens when you have encounter with God, you know, you see, if you don't have an encounter with God, you don't know what forgiveness is. Then you can't give other people forgiveness. If you don't have encounter with God, you don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit of joy. So you don't know how to give that joy to other people. If you never encounter the love of God, how can we give love to other people? So to be that biblical witness, you need to first encounter the life-transforming work of the Holy Spirit, then you will be a witness to people around you. Okay? When the Holy Spirit moves, this is the reason I focus on the Holy Spirit, because when I look at my own self, I am very limited. There's weaknesses, there's failures, but the Bible says, this is the promise of the Bible, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and his power is released, it will go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Right? What the Bible is saying is there's no limitation. Isn't that great? Yeah? There is no limitation. Right? And if the Holy Spirit is truly working in you, you know, and let's wake up, you know. Say you've been a Christian, you know, for 15 years, and, you know, you encounter God, and wow, you're so excited, and there's change, and there's transformation, there's more love, more joy in your life. And then, you know, over time, something happened. I don't know what happened. You know, if you've been a Christian for 15 years, and you know, there's less joy, there's less love, there's less peace, there's less power, there's less authority, there's less transformation. Right? I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but maybe we're focusing on the wrong thing then. Right? You know, we're focusing on the broken things. You know. We're focusing on, you know, and that's, you know, that's what I, you know, if God is moving in you, you know, and you will see transformation and change. But in America, a powerful church is a church that where we have an encounter with God. Right? But in America, what happens is you could be a weak church, right? And we could cover the weakness with money, right? You don't have an encounter with God, but we have a lot of money, right? There's no encounter with God, but you could cover it with good programs, But we could cover with efficiency, marketing. You know, there's a church that I heard in one country, the senior pastor has a consultant, a fashion consultant. No, it's true. I heard he has a fashion consultant, what he should wear and what kind of color coordination and how his hair should be cut. What is that? I have no idea what that is. Huh? That's Hollywood. That's not church. That's not church. So we could cover it with those things. We could cover it with maybe a very charismatic personality. But see, how do you know? I say that's a weak church because, say, they lose all the money. Say that God, that leader with that charismatic personality dies. What's going to happen to that church? See, the New Testament church, did you know in the New Testament church, their leaders were being killed off all the time? That's what was happening in the New Testament church. Right? 11 out of the 12 apostles were martyred in the New Testament time. John was the only one who lived to the old age. Can you imagine? This is, every couple months, one of your leaders killed in the church. Huh? What would happen? Huh? The members were also being persecuted. The church was poor. The New Testament church lived in one of the most legalistic culture of that time. Yet, the church thrived. Okay? There was new believers every day. People were being discipled. There was more love and unity. In the midst of all that, they shared everything that they had. They were very generous to one another. And the church continued to impact the city and the community. Yeah. And why? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in them. The reason make me feel good. Okay. What is the vision of Catalyst? The reason, it took us 2 years for everybody to say that, in unison and, for one is breaking boundaries. And it's very biblical. And I want you to know that that's very biblical because even in the Old Testament, God called his people, from Egypt to, went to the wilderness into the promised land. Break those boundaries. God called Israel to break boundaries of Egypt, of the wilderness, and into the promised land. But the thing is, the people who came out of Egypt did not go into, the first generation did not go into the promised land. You know why? Because, this is what the Bible says. When they were in the wilderness, And the thing is, the wilderness, they weren't supposed to be there that long. Okay? They were supposed to pass through and go into the promised land. It took them 40 years. But it was supposed to just take them 1 month. Okay? But why did it take it so long? Why did the first generation not make it? Because when they were in the wilderness, you know what they said? If only we had died in Egypt. They wanted to go backwards. Huh? What they were saying, if it was so much better, if we never made this journey. They're saying, if God, before God started to move in my life was so much better before. And they didn't want to go into the promised land. This is what they shouted. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land? You know what they said? It is so that we will fall by the sword. What they were saying, Lord, you really don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And you don't care about us. And you're just trying to make our life miserable. That's what you're doing. You're just up in heaven, and you see our suffering, and you don't really care, and you just want to make our life miserable. God, you are setting us up for failure. Uh-huh. And so the reason I share that with you is I don't want to make the same mistake. Uh-huh. Say to your neighbor, I don't want to make the same mistake. Uh-huh. So, you know, again, it's not to set us up for rejection. You know, don't say this is not going to work, we're going to fail, God's not going to, you know, God's setting us up for failure. You know, but I want us to, God is doing something, I sense it, and I don't want it to stop. I don't want it to stop. And as a church, you know, we need to learn from the Bible, not make the same mistake, but walk in faith. Okay? I want us to walk in faith. And, you know, and honestly, sometimes we put more faith. You know, some of us, you know, put more faith in winning the lotto. Right? If you're buying ticket every week, you're putting more faith in believing that you could win the lotto. Then we could go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? Yeah, but this is the promise that God gives us. Yeah? And the land after the wilderness, you know why God called it the promised land? Because it was his promise. He says, I'm going to give you that land. But it's a condition. It's not an automatic thing. It's a condition. If you obey me, if you trust me, okay, if you believe in me, I will give you that land. Okay? You see, if you do that, God guarantees success. Huh? God's plan was the Israelites take possession of that land, not be killed and be overwhelmed. It was to succeed. It was to succeed. You know, Jesus, there was a promise that was given when he was baptized. Right? And there was a promise. You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased with. Okay? And the thing about this, I see this again and again. You know, he just, okay, my father loves me, he cares about me, he's pleased with me, and next day he's in the wilderness. You know, hey God, you know, father, you know, you just told me you love me, why am I in the desert? Okay? Why is the devil tempting me? Why is he attacking me? Right? It seems like the opposite of the promise. Look at Joseph. God gives him a dream, and he's going to become a great leader, so even all his family will bow down to him. Next day, his family beat him up, threw him in a ditch, and sold him as a slave. Right? Let's learn from Jesus. Right? He's in the wilderness. Okay? He heard, you're my son, and I'm very proud of you. The devil come, if you are the son. Are you sure? Right? He never wavered. It is written, he says. It is written. It is written. Right? The son, Jesus, knew that his father was not setting him up for failure, to just suffer, to be disappointed. Right? And Jesus was victorious in the wilderness. And after that, he went into Galilee and healed the sick. The blind was able to see. And he went to the cross that brought salvation to the whole world. Yeah. Can I hear something? Hello? No. And so we are going through the wilderness, and we're coming out of it. The his people, when they saw the promised land, they, you know what they said? We're grasshoppers and they're giants. We cannot overcome. But there was two men, Joshua and Caleb. Let's learn and what they did and copy what they did, right? When they saw the promised land. They said this: the Lord will lead us into that land. The Lord will give us this land. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. We will devour them. Their protection is gone. Okay, so you're gonna, we're not gonna be exempt from it. You know, you're gonna see brokenness, you're gonna see your weakness, you're gonna see sins in other people, you're gonna be hit with the devil's arrow, right? There's lies, right? But be like Caleb and Joshua. Hey, no sweat, okay? God is with us. He will give us victory. Right? We will devour them. Their protection is gone. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship.